Want to let you know that we're having a Christmas dinner this Saturday at 4 p.m. So if you'd like to join us, everybody's invited to come. There's a sign-up sheet. If you haven't signed up, please sign up. And today will be the last day that you could sign up, I guess. Doesn't mean you can't come, but just so that we can prepare. And also want to invite the ladies to a Christmas tea on Saturday. That's what, the 14th? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. Yeah, Saturday at 14th at 10 a.m. Ladies, is a Christmas tea, so be good to have you. And then this Sunday, Fiona's dad is going to be with us. So we're looking forward to that. And he always has a good word. So they're not normally here at this time of the year, but, you know, of course, every time that they're here, we're going to have them preach. So praise God. And I think that's everything. Of course, here at VCF, we don't pass a bucket, but we do have a container in the back, and you can put your tithes and offerings there. I mean, isn't it good to give? Can't be God-given, can you? Amen. And that's available to you. Are you ready for the word this evening? We've been establishing a living legacy of God's word. When you leave this earth, what's going to matter? How much money you had in your bank account? What job you held? The only thing that's really going to matter is what you did for the Lord. Amen. Did you do what God wanted you to do? Did you do your plan or did you do God's plan? We can either hear when we leave this earth, well done, good and faithful servant, or you're done. So in building a living legacy, we're learning from the people in the Bible. How many know that they were written for our example, for our admonition? And every story in the Bible is true. It actually happened. And there are things that we can learn from them because the Bible is better than tomorrow's newspaper. The Bible is more up to date and more accurate than the news that you hear. Because God's word is forever established in the heavens. It cannot fail. He will not lie. Amen? So if you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Last time we were together, we learned lessons about faith for our future. How many know that God's got a good future for you? Well, I'll tell you what, if you only knew what God had in store for you, it's good. And tonight, we're going to learn some lessons about obeying God's call. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. Say, I have a call from God. Say, God's called me to do something for him in this earth. Every one of us here have a call from God. God knows each and every one of your numbers. He has them all memorized. And just like Abraham, by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went or where he was going to go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, it takes faith to recognize and to hear and to receive and obey God's call. Doesn't say by faith when he was called. You know, God calls everybody, but how we respond to God with faith. You know, God speaks the language of the word. He also speaks the language of faith, because our faith comes from his word. So it takes faith to recognize, hear, receive, and obey God's call. All right? And faith will make action towards what God calls you. By faith, when he was called to go out into a place, he obeyed, and what? He went out. A simple action of obedience responded to God's call. And it's going to take faith. See, faith acts on God's word. Faith does what God says to do. If God is speaking to you and you're doing nothing, you're not in faith. Or your faith is dead. So Abraham went forth. What was he doing? He was responding to the call. Let's go to Genesis 12. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Whether or not you fulfill God's call, it's not up to God, it's up to you. You know, God's calling you on the phone, and whether or not you pick up, it's up to you. You know, God doesn't have a cell phone, but if he did, he'd have no drop calls. And if God had a cell service, he doesn't, but it's the Holy Ghost network. Amen? That's how he speaks. And, you know, God doesn't charge you by the minute, does he? You could spend an hour talking to God and you're not going to get a bill for 40 cents a minute, amen? And when God calls you, or what God calls you to, he wants you to have. Someone had to go through the promised land and be a forerunner and be a pioneer. God needed a man on earth who would respond to his call and who would walk through the land that he wanted his people to have. If Abraham hadn't responded to God's call, Israel would not get the land that God promised them. It involved a man hearing what God said, hearing his call, and going forth, doing what God said. Abraham was a missionary. It said he was a foreigner. He lived in a foreign land. That's a missionary, wasn't it? He was the first missionary. And you've got to take ownership of God's call for you. What he's calling you to do, he's not calling someone else to do. You've got to take ownership of God's call. And when God calls you, you can't say, I can't, because he already knows the answer to that. He wouldn't have called you if you couldn't. But the very fact that he has called you, he knows you can do what he is asking you to do. You may not know where you end up, but you must be faithful to the call. Sometimes God will call you into something you don't know, something that makes you uncomfortable, something that stretches you. Oh, I don't know about that. But if God is calling, you can walk into the unknown with assurance, with confidence. You don't have to know, but you can know that God knows. If God is calling you, he knows what's there. He knows what's beyond there. And you'll never know unless you obey the call. So you've got to be faithful to him, even if you don't know the end result. What if you were called to die? I can't believe God would call someone to die. You ever hear of the cross? Jesus came to die. He came to this earth knowing that he was going to give his life as a ransom for many. Did he obey the call? Absolutely. If he didn't, we'd all be in trouble. Thank God. And don't be fooled to think that your obedience to the call doesn't affect anybody else. It does. God's got other people at stake if you obey your call. Whether or not, listen, Jonah was called, but he went the other way. What happened to the people what happened to the people's stuff that on the boat that he was on? They lost all their stuff. They lost all their goods because they had someone who was not obeying the call. Listen, if you're around someone that's not obeying the call, take care of your stuff. You may lose your stuff or you may experience rough waters. How many know that the people that were on the boat that Jonah was, they didn't know what was happening, but Jonah did. Throw me overboard and everything will be okay. We're not going to do that. Throw me overboard. You know, it takes faith to dwell in a foreign land. Abraham paved the way for generations to come. Someone needs to be first. All right, Genesis chapter 12. What did God call Abraham to do? Verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham. Obviously, Abraham knew God's voice. The Lord was able to have a conversation with Abraham. Listen, God speaks your language. He knows how to communicate to you. He knows how to get a hold of you. He knows how to get a hold of the people who analyze everything. God will lead you to Matthew. Matthew's got the most in-depth genealogy ever. It was funny the other night, I have to say something about Gabriel. You know, I'm reminding him to make sure that he feeds his spirit, okay? Which means read the Word of God. And I told him, well, you ought to read the Christmas story. He said, I read Matthew 1, but there was a lot of names, so I went through that quickly. But if you're an analytical person, God knows how to speak to the analytical. If you're a man of action, he might lead you to Mark because you hear words like straightforward and immediately. Maybe you're a people person. Well, God will lead you to Luke, who was a physician. We know more about Jesus' personal life from Luke than anybody. And maybe you're just a super spiritual person. Well, God will lead you to John. Amen. He'll talk to you about the divinity of Christ. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, or Abram, this is before his name was changed, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Well, God, why don't you show me now? You go and he'll show. And notice, God will never tell you something without giving you a promise of what he wants to do. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Can you imagine someone telling you, in you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed? Whoa. How cool. See, God could even speak surfing language. Whoa, dude, that's so cool. So, Abraham departed. Sounds to me like he obeyed the call. Just think about this for a minute. What are you called to do? Well, I don't know. Well, you better find out. The quicker you can find out what you're called to do, the better it's going to be for you. Do you realize that anybody that's not doing what the Lord's called them to do is miserable? Because what the Lord called you to do and what the Lord created you to do, it fits you perfectly. It will unlock your passions. It'll give you joy. You won't want to do anything else. Take it from someone who's doing what they're called to do. The rewards of obeying God's call are greater than the costs. There are more blessings that God promised than it would cost Abraham. What did it cost Abraham to leave? Leave his country, leave his father's house, and leave his home. But the blessings outweigh the costs. There's a whole lot more blessings than there are costs. So the rewards of obeying God's call are greater than the cost. God gives greater benefits to the willing and obedient than what the person gives to obey God. God will never ask a person to do something without blessing them in return. Never. When you obey God, He will bless you. He will be good to you because God is a good God. It's when you disobey God that it's hard and it costs you a lot. It takes you further than you want to go. It'll cost more than you want to pay. But you know what we got to do? We got to store up treasures in heaven. You got to invest in your call now. You've got to be willing to make a commitment to what God is calling you to do. Because it's going to require you to be committed. God is in the long term. He's a long-term thinker. My goodness, for thousands of years, He's already had a wedding feast planned. You talk about a long-term thinker. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. We're going to look at some examples of what it takes to follow God. And then we're going to look at some reasons why people don't obey God when He calls. Luke chapter 18. And let's go to verse 18. And a certain ruler asked Him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" First of all, you know, the Lord says, "Why call me good? None is good save one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And He said, "All these I have kept from my youth up." Really? That's interesting. "Now when Jesus heard these things, He said unto him, 'You lack one thing.'" Now that's pretty good. To only lack one thing. But Jesus knows how to get to the heart of every person. He knows what's holding a person back, and He will speak directly to that thing. Okay? He said, "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and," notice, "you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Did the Lord want to bless this young man? Okay? He did. He wanted to bless him. But He gave him an instruction. Number one, sell what you have. Have a garage sale. Have a yard sale. Have an auction. Sell what you have. And give to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. You know what happens to treasure in heaven? It only increases. It never diminishes. It doesn't rust. It doesn't get old. It doesn't grow. You don't have to shine it in heaven because it stays shiny all the time. Treasure in heaven lasts for eternity. When He heard this, He was very sorrowful, for He was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." The problem was the riches had his heart. He wasn't willing to give and follow the Lord. He didn't want to lose his riches. He wanted to hold on to what he had. He wanted to maintain what he had. But you know what? If you maintain what you have here, you lose what you have there. The cost of maintaining what you have here is far greater than what you would get there. This man could have been a disciple. He might have even written a book. We might have preached for one of his books. But he didn't answer the call. Yes, there are times when God will ask you to sacrifice, but he'll never ask you to do anything that he's not willing to do himself. And how many know that Jesus came to give the greatest sacrifice of all, his life on the cross? God knows what it means to sacrifice. But when you sacrifice for the kingdom, your reward is greater than you can imagine. But he didn't obey the call. Mark 8:34-38, it says, "Whosoever will save his life for whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." But if you try to keep your life, you're going to end up losing it. The cost of disobeying God's call is far greater than the reward you would get if you would follow him, if you would obey the call. Amen? Jesus is looking for people who aren't ashamed of him. That's why when someone comes to Christ, we have them do a public confession. It's important to make a public confession that Jesus is Lord and that you want him as your Savior in your life. Because it shows that you're not ashamed of him. Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father." Just as much as we shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus, we shouldn't be ashamed of his call. I want you to know that God's got your best interests at heart. He designed you. He made you. He knows what's good for you. He wants what's good for you, but he needs your participation. God will not force you to do his call, although he can do some persuasion. He's very persuasive. Amen? Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. Look at this. This is the opposite. Luke 5 and verse 27. "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." A publican is a tax collector. We all love tax collectors, don't we? You know you're having a good day when the IRS comes and knocks on your door. "He was sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him," two words, "follow me." What was his response? "And he left all, rose up, and followed him." One simple call, one simple answer. Matthew, Levi, he wasn't tied down to anything in this world. He wasn't restricted. He wasn't hindered. He was ready to follow Jesus wherever he wanted to go. How quickly does it take you to obey the call? When we live a disorderly life, it's hard to get everything in order to obey God's call when he calls. Isn't that right? You know, if we have things out of order constantly, it's hard for us to be ready when God calls. That'd be like someone showing up to your house without calling. You open the door. Oh, oh, give me a minute. You lock the door. And you make the mad dash, trying to put everything in its place. And then you answer the door and your sweat's pouring off you. I've been there, done that. But I want you to notice how quickly he answered the call. Follow me. Okay. You got to kiss it. Keep it simple, saint. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, saint. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And go to verse 57. There are three people here who were called. Remember, we're talking about faith to obey the call. When God called Abraham, he departed. When God called Noah, he started building. When God called David, he killed a giant. Do you realize that David stayed ready? He went from delivering bread to killing a giant. He made that transition so easy. David didn't say, well, let me take care of my bread first and then I'll take care of this giant. No. Once he knew that he had an opportunity to kill a giant, that bread cart was gone. He pushed that thing out of the way. He was ready to go. By the way, we do have shoes of the readiness of gospel that's part of our Christian clothing we should have on every day. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. You know those people that make big promises but can never follow through? Lord, I will follow you. It's like Peter. He said, Lord, I will never forsake you. I'll be with you. Then he goes and denies him three times. I'll follow you, Lord. Yes. Woo. Then Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That doesn't mean that Jesus didn't have a house, but he spent 3 years traveling intensively across Jerusalem and Galilee and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth at that time. It's not that Jesus was poor. You can't be poor and have a treasurer. It doesn't compute. People use this and they say, well, Jesus didn't have a house. He didn't have time for a house. He spent his time traveling intensely. When you travel, you don't have a house. You're staying in a hotel. You're staying at a friend's house. You're staying there. You're not staying at your house. Now, this guy made a big promise, I'll follow you. But when he heard how hard it was going to be, you mean I'm going to have to travel? I'm going to have to leave my family. I won't get to sleep on my pillow. I'll miss my bed. Obviously, that guy didn't follow him. He was disqualified quickly. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. Notice that word first. To go and bury my father. Now, I looked at this, and it wasn't saying that his father had died yet, but his father was of the age that he was going to die. Notice what he was putting first. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, I can't believe that God is not compassionate about my family. There comes a time when God may ask you, who's going to be first, me or your family? Does your family save you? Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the kingdom. I'm convinced that this was not the first time that Jesus told this guy to go preach. But the problem was, he was making excuses as to why he couldn't go preach. He was making excuses as to why he couldn't obey what God was calling him to do. We've all been there. We've all done that. God wants you to do this. Well, God, you know, I got this and I got this and I got this. Well, Jesus isn't first then. Jesus clearly wanted this person to go and preach. And I guarantee you, God deals with a person to preach. God has great patience for the precious fruit of the earth. He deals with people. I guarantee you that this was not the first time that Jesus told him to go preach. But all of a sudden now, he can't go preach because he's got to go take care of this. Let the dead bury their dead. But go and preach the kingdom of God. It's not that God was not compassionate. Let me ask you this. If he would have obeyed God, do you think God could have worked in his family? Maybe his disobedience was hindering God from working in his family. Kind of like Jonah in the boat. Go to Nineveh. Nineveh's this way. Jonah's this way. You know? Right after Elijah took care of the prophets of Baal, he gets a letter from Jezebel that says, I'm going to kill you. And she had a reputation because she killed people. But isn't it interesting how this guy who takes on 400 prophets by himself with God, he's afraid of one woman with a letter. And she didn't send an assassin, she sent the postman. And he ran the other way. He's sitting in the cave and God said to him, what are you doing here? He was obviously in the wrong place. He was obviously in a place that God didn't call him to be. See, when you respond to depression, you get into a place where God didn't want you to be. When you have a pity party and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and listen, God doesn't get invitations to pity parties. If he did, he wouldn't attend them. Because he would say, why are you pitying yourself? He said, I'm the glory and the lifter of your head. I'll lift you up. I'll give you joy. I'll give you strength. I'll give you what you need. You don't have to feel sorry for yourself. You can't afford not to obey the call. Whether or not you obey what God's called you to do, it determines whether or not you please him or you please someone else. What's the third scenario? Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, some people want to postpone the call. They don't want to do it when Jesus says to do it. They want to do it on their terms. That means they're the Lord and he's not. Pastor, you're kind of hard tonight. Listen, I'm giving you some growing up food tonight. See, people don't answer. Why don't people answer God's call? People don't answer God's call because it's not an important priority in their life. Their natural life is a higher priority than pleasing God. The natural life is small in comparison to eternity. Which one would you want to invest more in? Which one has better benefits? Make the one with better benefits a greater commitment. There's some truth going forth tonight. See, people are not willing to exchange their comfort for discomfort or to be uncomfortable. We like our comfort, don't we? We don't want it hard. We want it easy. We're diluted with drive-thrus. We can communicate with anybody in the world from one little thing without a cord. Things, there's 24-hour news cycles that are, well, I'm not going to, they're full of venom. It's so negative. And so we're not willing to exchange our comfort for discomfort. We're attached to these things that have no eternal value. Some people are too attached to their family. Let me tell you a story. Thank God for my older sister. She was the pioneer in the Pishka household. She was the first one to get born again, these group of Polish Catholics. And my oldest sister, Kristen, got born again. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know that she was praying for me. And so she in turn led me to the Lord. I in turn led my parents to the Lord and my grandmother to the Lord a year before she died. Every time I go to Illinois, they get to hear me preach. My immediate family has heard me preach. My aunt, my nieces, they've heard the Word of God. And when God, you know, my sister went to the Philippines to do a DTS with YWAM for 6 months. She was a registered nurse, living at home, making good money. She had a boyfriend. She had like her own little apartment at her house that had its own entrance. It used to be my mom's beauty shop that we converted into a room. And my parents wanted me to go to college. And at the time, I didn't want to go to college. God changed my heart after I went to Bible school. Because if I hadn't gone to college, I hadn't have met my beautiful wife. So I'm glad that I obeyed God. And I remember having this conversation with my parents. We were in New Zealand. And I had put in an application to go to Rhema. And I was praying to God because we were going to be gone a month in New Zealand, the whole month of July in 1990. School started in late August. And I was praying to God. I said, God, Lord, I did what you've called me to do. I set things into motion. I took the action. And Lord, please let me know if I'm accepted before I go to New Zealand so it's not on my mind. Of course, the day before we go to New Zealand, what comes in the mail? My acceptance letter. God is awesome. And he has a sense of humor. And so I remember when we were in New Zealand and I was talking. See, my brother-in-law wasn't too sure if the course that I needed to take was right. And I have a lot of respect for my brother-in-law. He's been in the ministry. He's a missionary for over 35 years. And so I remember having this conversation with my mother. I said, so, Mom, what do you think about me going to Bible school? And she said, well, you're not leaving the country, you know, and you're only going to Oklahoma. And if this is what you want to do, she said, we're with you. And they, you know, my mom and dad helped me move down to Tulsa. But see, they just didn't understand all this Christianity. They weren't exposed to it yet. They had little glimpses, but they hadn't really given their heart over to the Lord. So they had some reservations. You ever been around people that have some reservations about what you feel like you need to do with your life? I'm so glad that I obeyed God. In spite of all those challenges. If I hadn't done that then, I would not be here tonight. And when I got to Rhema, I had to leave my family for the first time. This was the first time I was away from home. 21 years old. And I'll never forget the day when my parents dropped me off. They headed back to Illinois on a Wednesday. And I went back into my apartment. I had no couch. The only furniture I had was a folding card table and two folding chairs. And I had a cot that was 6 inches too short for me. And I had a TV and a VCR. And I went back into that room. My parents had left. And I got on the floor and I wept. Because it was hard. First time leaving your family, it's hard. First time on your own, it's hard. But you know what? I can stand here today and I can tell you that the benefits of obeying God far outweigh what it cost me to do that. And I am much happier that I obeyed God and didn't disobey Him. And I want to encourage you tonight to set your heart to obey God. What you think you're losing is simply an investment. You know what happens in an investment with God? It goes up. It always comes back to you more. And there's a lot of things that can come and distract you. Let me just give you some final thoughts for tonight. Listen, God's call is an invitation to you to a special assignment that God has for you and wants you to do. Say, God's got something for me. First of all, He calls you to Himself. That means if you don't know the Lord, He invites you to come know Him. He invites you to make Him your Savior, to be a child of God. That is an invitation. That's the number one invitation that He does for you. Then when you become His child, then you get the Holy Spirit and you get His gifts and you get His power and then you get all these good things. You get these benefits. Then He teaches you how to have victory in life. Then you get part of a church, a body just like this. And you learn to grow. Listen, there's a lot of things about God that we don't know. And the very fact that we're still breathing and we're still on this earth, there's some things that we can still learn yet. God calls people to preach. He calls people into all various vocations. God's call is not restricted to the pulpit ministry. God calls some to be parents, some to be a father. God will call you to be a millionaire. If you don't believe me, Romans 12 says there's a ministry of giving. There are people who are created by God to make money so that they can support the gospel. Because as far as I know, I've never gotten a check from a gangster or a drug dealer. They never said, gee, I want to support your ministry. Money comes from saved people. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because when God calls, there's only a few of them that remain faithful to the call. Because if God calls you, you might have to stand alone. With no other human support. Thank God that Noah had his family. Noah preached for 100 years and had 8 converts. How'd you like that? You think a lot of people would have given up then? Because they don't see quote unquote results? Listen, let me tell you something. Noah did what God called him to do. He called him to build a boat and save his family, and that's what he did. He was faithful to that call. He didn't turn from that call. He didn't trade in that call. He didn't give up that call. He didn't quit the call. We got too many quitters in the body of Christ. They quit when the going gets tough. Everyone is called according to God's divine purpose, and whom He calls, He equips. When you answer the call, He qualifies you. He doesn't get you ready before. You got to answer the call first. Amen? The gifts and the callings of God, Romans 11 and 30. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. In other words, what God called you to, he hasn't changed his mind. And if you haven't answered, he's still waiting and there's still time. So you better be about the Father's business. God may call you to change things in your life. You know, different seasons, there are things that grow in different seasons. There are things that grow better in different climates. God may be calling you to a different climate because the fruit that he wants to see develop in your life requires that climate for it to grow. Would you be willing to change climates? Well, I don't know. We've been doing this for 20 years, and I think I'm going to keep doing it. Well, fine, then you lose the reward. God called Abraham, and he went. He didn't argue with God. Of course, the Bible doesn't tell us. He didn't complain to God. Abraham did not leave his house saying, I don't know why God doesn't tell me where we're supposed to go. You know, Sarah's going, where are we going, Abraham? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You should have asked for directions. I did, but he didn't tell me. Just take my hand, babe. Let's go. Okay. See, their love was strong enough to go into the unknown. Ladies, are you willing to leave your security? Not my security! Well, which is more secure, your security or God? Which will keep you warmer on a cold day? I guarantee you God will, because he will provide. Did you know that your calling is holy? Did you know that you have to give your full effort into your call? If Mr. T were here, he'd say, I pity fool that don't invest in their call. I pity fool. Make something of your call. That's what Mr. T would say if he were here. Make your calling and election sure. What is God calling you to do tonight? It could be something big. It could be something small. God can call you to change your attitude. God will say, hey, in however he speaks to you. I'm just saying how he speaks to me. He said, hey, you need to change that. Would you be willing to make that adjustment? See, the biggest thing that people have to overcome with God's call is, are you willing to change? It could mean change direction, because maybe you're going the wrong direction. And you can't see that the bridge is out, but God can. And he's trying to get your attention to change direction, because he doesn't want you to experience the hurt and the pain of the out bridge. So God is calling you. Will you answer the call? Will you do what God has called you to do? Will you give up whatever is holding you back from obeying the call of God? And step into greatness. Step into your destiny. One step is all it takes. One step closer to God, and God will meet you. Because God loves you. And God doesn't call anybody to defeat. He calls them to victory. He just needs someone that'll be willing and obedient so that he can give them the good of the land. So why don't we stand up if we can? Tonight is a commitment night. Amen? I believe God is calling you into a greater level of commitment. First of all, if you've been walking with God from a distance, In other words, you and God aren't as close as you should be. Tonight is the night to come closer. Amen. Take the Lord's hand and just give him your life. Let the Lord be your pilot. The Lord was never designed to be your co-pilot. He is the captain of your salvation. Jesus is captain salvation. He's the captain. He gets to call the shots. It's his ship. He bought it. It's not your ship. Talking about your body, it's not your body. You've been bought with a price. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God is going to call you to himself. He's going to call you to change. He's going to call you to embrace whatever he wants you to do. Amen. And what I mean is, from this point on, when you embrace his call, you start taking steps towards that call. You start taking little steps. When God called me, I wrote it down. My first step, when God revealed what my ministry was, I wrote it in my Bible because I didn't have anything else at the time. I said, Pastor Pishkin's ministry. I had no clue what that meant. I just know that God spoke to me. And when I wrote it down, and then that became something greater, and I prayed about it, and I kept it in my heart, and I started moving towards that thing. I didn't know how it was going to come to pass. I didn't know how I would see my vision of me standing in front of people preaching like I am tonight. I didn't know how it would come to pass, but praise God, because I did something with what he called me to do, I'm doing it now. Amen. But you have to be obedient. Put aside your feelings and your emotions, because they're only indicators, but they're not good leaders. You can't be led by your emotions. You can't be led by your feelings. You can't be led by your senses. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. So some of you tonight, what I'm saying is touching your heart. You need to respond. First response, come up here. Second response, receive what God has for you. Third response, rejoice. Amen? If you made a mistake along the way, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you like nothing has ever happened. He will make you whole. He will restore a right relationship with you. He will restore the joy of your salvation. There's no mistake that you can make that God can't erase. So if you've missed the mark, come up. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, come up. Whatever, there's some people here tonight. I know that God put this on my heart tonight. We got to have faith for our call. Jesus, come and answer the call. Come and make yourself available to God. Come and receive his power and his might. Oh, just receive his love. He loves you so much. He wants so much for you. And I'm going to pray for you tonight. And the anointing is going to fill you. Ooh. You know, there are some people that you know they're a receptacle. In other words, that they're just ready to receive. I can tell that you're one of those, Melissa. You are just ready to receive a fresh anointing. You're ready for God to transform your life. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that through your anointing and your grace, you're going to begin to transform this young woman's life like never before. Turn it upside down, Father. Lord, just give her ears to hear and a heart to understand your call. Right now, Lord, make things clear like they've never been before in Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Ghost, breathe on her right now. Let her experience your love and your power and your grace. In the name of Jesus, be filled right now. Oh, be filled with the joy of the Lord. He'll turn your mourning into dancing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you know exactly the step that you need to take, and you've got the strength and the courage to do it. So go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad that God's not done with you yet? Oh, there's still some things to do, some things that you can do that he is leading and guiding you to do. You can still make an impact in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that she finishes strong in the name of Jesus. Oh, just receive of the anointing right now. The anointing of the Holy Ghost.